It's all connected.
Hey folks, howdy and welcome to the It's All Connected show with myself, Grimner, and the lovely Miss Circle over there in Denmark land.
And oh, in Denmark land.
Yeah. On this Monday, October 19, 2020.
Oh, yes, it is the Monday. We have Monday.
Monday. The title of today's show, this episode 14 of It's All Connected, is The Prisons We Live In. Mm. Now, this being episode 14, I think this is like I did 7 shows before you joined. So now we're at...
This is the pivot point.
Yeah, equal number now. 7 without, 7 with. So we're good. We're good there. So howdy to the folks over here in the Real Liberty Media chat. How y'all doing over there? Hopefully everybody's all right today on this, in this corona world.
Oh man,
I know
it's not a corona world.
Well, that's what you get to hear everywhere, you know. In this post-corona world, I was like, oh my god.
Oh, that reminds me. Another point on the list of prisons we live in, right?
Uh-huh.
The fear one. See, you reminded me with that corona.
We have that one in here, don't we? Oh, no, we don't have fear in here.
Tons of fear, man.
I know, but it's not, that's not one of the listed.
No, I know. I added.
Okay, well, you'll have to tell me exactly what you got to say about it so I can add it.
Okay. But I just added fear, though. And then I added the food pollution and environment person, right?
Oh, that's never ending, right?
Yeah.
Food pollution, water pollution, air pollution, radio signal pollution, just
light
on.
Pollution, man. They're changing all the light bulbs to these LEDs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Can't see stars or anything. It's just going to fuck up everything. It's another pollution.
Well, I don't know how much the LEDs add to that. I mean, the incandescents were no better. Were they?
That's not what I hear. That's what I hear.
Okay.
That the LEDs are far more polluting when it comes to light pollution. I am not a science guy, though.
Yeah, I think anything that fills the darkness with light would be light pollution.
Yes.
In this situation. Yeah, I mean, you know,
yes.
In unwanted places.
No, because, well, okay, here's how I know. Because I like to watch... people who watch the stars, like astronomers, amateur astronomers on YouTube, right?
Right.
Because
right.
They suit me.
Okay.
First of all, they're geeky and dorks who has like this little special interest and they know tons about it.
Okay.
And then they spend all their nights, you know, figuring out how to get to some point where there isn't too much pollution. And some of those, or a lot of those, are complaining about the switch to LEDs. So I just figure, okay, these people know.
All right, I don't,
right?
I can't really,
me neither. It's not a basis to form an opinion on, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I think food pollution, environment, prison should be on the list, though.
Sure, that's a good, definitely.
And I also added the whole knowledge, which had a nice spin the last 5 years, 3 years or so, right, with the whole fake news thing.
What? Say again?
Well, there's the whole knowledge prison, right?
All right.
And in the last couple of years, or 3 or 5 years or so, everything has been about this fake news.
Oh, well, I guess so, but I mean, before that,
everything was fake news too.
Yeah, I've been talking about
but
it, you
just
know.
Knew it.
I came up with that term CLAP, I don't know how long ago, 8, 9, 10 years ago. Which CLAP is the corporate lame ass propaganda, which meant all of the news that you're going to see on television or in newspapers or on the quote big websites, the the reliable websites, which are all full of crap. So, I mean, it may have, the fake news people, may have adopted the fake news term over the last few years in order to, go after other people that they disagree with that are also part of the clap.
Like, exactly. They made, they made that, where you pointed propaganda, they made that into propaganda. So it's just all tainted. It's all part of that whole knowledge prison.
Yeah, it's a
word.
Yeah.
Word. Just because we give it a word doesn't mean we can point it out.
Or as Alex Jones, you know him, right? he used to say, "There's a war on for your mind."
Yes, InfoWars.
He's correct about that. You know, there ain't no doubt about that. Whatever you think of Alex, he did put out some good information there.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
You know, and he's still fun to watch the Y2K 99 show.
Because
he went nuts, man. He just went nuts. Well, you know, he's a good example of part of that whole knowledge prison we live in, right?
I guess so.
Where the bar is just like this idea of truth. Like there's this golden truth out there that you can measure everything up against.
Yeah.
Like there is, you know, you work with data, and I work with data, right? And
right.
People who work with data, they know that the state of unbiased doesn't exist.
And we're not talking about data from Star Trek.
No.
Although it would be cool to have an android.
oh, yeah.
Different
no.
topic. Yeah.
I would feel so horrible all the time. I would
Why?
Be like, because I would be like Pinocchio's dad. I'd be going, how can I find him a soul? How can I find him a soul, man? Well, he's like this half human being.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least you gave him a life, right?
You can call it that.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Doesn't the hologram doctor end up being more of a person than Data does?
I think so, because he does have emotions, which Data never had.
Mm.
So
exactly.
Yeah, and he got that thing where he could wander around outside of all of the holographic emitters. Yeah, so I mean, I guess so.
Which is odd, because he doesn't have a body, though, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, only in the prison of his own mind does he have a body, I guess.
Yeah.
I did also add religion
okay.
to the list of prisons we live in.
All right. Okay, well, the prisons we live in, well, if you live with the belief in authority, you've created a prison, an invisible prison that surrounds you, that controls you with your total acceptance. You believe that these people are the ones in charge, right? And I guess with all of their weapons pointed at your head to shoot you or cage you or do other bad things to you over any little infraction of what they say, which is difficult to get around because they say a lot of contradictory things. So if you're trying to obey whatever rule A, you're probably violating rule B somewhere.
Yeah. And the funny thing about some of these, or all of these prisons, right, which are the wall-less ones, right, the ones without walls.
Right.
It is that you don't really have to believe in them, Grimnir. It's just enough of your neighbors do.
Right. And that's what it comes down to. Right?
They become very real.
They do become very real because they will come and kill you over nothing. Pretty much over nothing. And that's what it comes down to. And then they'll say, oh, well, yeah, well, we didn't really mean to kill that person, but, you know, since we have these shiny badges here, we're okay. Yeah, we have no fault.
No, we're kidnapping him and putting him in prison behind bars because, you know, he didn't pay his taxes.
Well, it doesn't have to actually be anything, though.
No.
And
No.
you know, just if you walk across the street in a way they don't like, or if one of them, you know, one of them, tries to, you know, stop you for no reason as you're walking down the road or driving down the road, and demands you comply with whatever words are coming out of their mouths, and you don't comply, then they'll kill you. And
It's not,
sometimes they'll kill you even if you do comply.
and that's not so far from that. I don't know, the Queen Lady in Alice Wonderland, right?
Oh, the Queen of Hearts?
Yeah. I
Yeah.
don't know. That seems insane when you were watching it as a kid, right?
It did, sure.
But I'm just saying. It's sort of like off with the head.
Right. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What did you do? Well, you broke either one of the written or one of the unwritten rules, or you did something we haven't covered in a rule yet.
Well, rules, we don't need no stinking rules.
No. See, that's it. One thing that pisses me off, though, in this world, and I really get pissed off about this, is the whole, you know, when did we def start defining what was legal? Huh? Didn't it used to be like, these things are illegal, don't do this?
Right, it used to be where you do whatever you want, you know, and then if somebody says, "Oh, that's illegal," then you might think about it. But now it's instead of saying, "I'm going to go do this," I'm going to say, well, not me, but other folks, are going to
Is
say,
this legal?
"Yeah,
Can I
is
do
it?
this?
Am I allowed to do whatever?"
Let me just Google if this is legal. What?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The fuck? When that just pisses me off. Whenever I see that shit about stuff being legal, it just pisses me off.
Yeah.
'Cause it's like, who are you people to make shit legal? I mean.
Yeah, you ask your flash as he asks you. He asks his wife, which is you. Can I do
Yeah.
this, honey?
No.
Am I allowed to do
No.
this,
No. See.
honey? Oh, man.
Yeah.
And that's all. You're the only authority that he listens to.
He listens to me.
Well, he must. He must, because he's
Artistic.
always saying,
Really?
"Let me ask my wife."
Yeah. Will you do this for me, honey? No. No. That's not it. No, he doesn't. Grimnir, are you in your life weighted down by all the other people's expectations to you? Is that a prison you live in?
Expectations to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess to some degree, I don't have, it's not a lot of expectations. Pretty much my expectations surround around Real Liberty Media. That's what people, I think, I'm expected to do by people that I talk to on a daily basis.
Would you say that the lower you can get other people's expectations to you, the more free you are?
Yes, absolutely.
It's just like work towards people having really low expectations of
Yeah,
you.
he don't know nothing. Let's ask somebody else. Let's let him be. He'll just mess it up anyhow. Yeah.
So out of all the prisons we listed up, and I'm sure there are more though,
Okay. Well, let me
we
go.
had the yeah,
Let me
sorry.
go through the list here. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
First, it was the prisons we live in. Are we each other's prison guards? I guess the Karens will have to answer that one. Why do some prisons not have walls? Are you comfortable in your chains, and have you escaped? This is the big one. The prison of your mind. That's a very difficult one, yeah.
So have you?
Have you? I have. I do believe
you have?
I have escaped the prison of my mind. I am at peace with myself and the world around me, and I feel as one with the universe. It's all connected, you know. So I think yes, I have escaped the prison that they attempted to trap my mind in, that most people's minds are still trapped in, which is this belief in authority. I think it comes back down to that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, as you point out, and as others have pointed out to me, ad nauseum, whether you believe in their authority or not, they still have it. Yeah, because you believe in it, you and everybody, all the others out there, they believe in it. So that gives the power to the authority, which if you quit believing in it and you say, no, you guys don't have this authority over me, then their authority will be broken and we can live freely. And but it seems like people are always like looking for who's going to lead them, who's going to tell them what they can and can't do and should be able to do and what's right and what's wrong, rather than using their own mind to understand what life is about and what they're about and what they should. That people know what's right from wrong, or at least they should, right?
Yeah. There is such a thing as I know this, you know, that this is a topic people usually don't agree with me on, but there is such a thing as a moral, like a core of moral judgment that you were giving from nature, right? That's your inner, you know, your morals.
Right.
And then there are all the ethical systems around you that you have to navigate through, right? Being like the fiscal ones and the monetary ones and all the other rules and systems of rules that you have to, you know, conduct your life through. And those will impact your inner core of morality, right?
Right. But of course, what's immoral to you may not be immoral to me.
No, exactly.
You know, morals, I guess.
But people are very hung up about the ethical thing. You know, ethics, but ethics are what is outside of you, though.
Well, define the ethics as you're meaning it here.
Well, ethics does mean, you know, the custom or the rules we set up for each other in different contexts to judge moral or good or bad actions or right or wrong.
Okay. Well,
would you agree that you live in more than one ethical construct, though, right?
Sure. But see, to me,
but you only have your morality. Whatever you think is moral or not moral, according to your values and your ideas, that's your morality, though, right? Which is highly subjective.
Okay, well, tell me if you agree with this. As long as whatever you do does not cause harm to another person or another person's property, then it's okay.
Yes, of course.
Of course. Some people would widen that out to as long as you're not harming another living being. But then you get down into the whole thing of, you know, is it ethical to eat a cow? Which, to me it is, but to, I guess, other folks it may not be.
Well, I don't really care if it's ethical, though. I care if it's moral to me.
Okay.
I am the one living this life, so is it according to my morals?
Is it moral?
And to me, killing an animal would certainly come down to much more than just the act of killing an animal.
Okay.
There are tons of different reasons. You know, every day I live, I kill I kill living beings.
Sure. I mean, every time you wash your hands, you're killing germs, right?
Sure. I can't walk through the woods without stepping on something. Come on.
No, you couldn't.
So that's just how it is. So it's all about how and what kind of energy. So my morality doesn't, you know, I can't put that up in a black and white world, right? Life is death and death is life. That's pretty much how it is.
Right. It goes around.
I don't know.
Now, I noticed on the image that you'd sent me earlier, or that you put into the wire, one of the things up on that wall there, it said YOLO.
Yeah.
Which is you only
YOLO.
Live once.
You only live once.
Which is wrong.
It's because it's a picture that says burn prisons and hug cats.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. I don't know about the hugging
Thank
cats.
Thank you, Rob.
I don't know about the hugging cats.
That's the
part.
YOLO part. That's the YOLO.
I don't know about the hugging cats parts, but
okay. Is there anything more YOLO than hugging a cat?
Well, what's YOLO about that?
Do you know how freaking dangerous cats are if you try to hug them?
Well, some of them, I guess, maybe. I don't know. I mean, cats are kind of schizophrenic.
Yeah, they don't hug well though.
Okay.
Okay, you only live once. You don't agree with that.
No, I don't agree with that. I mean, well, and I guess depending on your what you believe in, but I've had many previous lives as far as I know, and I'll have more.
But are you sure you're living one now?
Well, see, that's a whole different topic. we touched on that a little bit on Freakers, you know, about the fact that this is probably, most likely, looks like a simulation. So, am I sure I'm living one now? No, I'm not.
Okay, I can honestly, without just not trying to be the devil's advocate, but I can honestly say I there's nothing in me that points to multiple lives on this planet Earth.
Okay, well, who said they have to be here on Earth?
Well, that's all I consider living because that's all I know.
Right. Okay. Well.
Well, I'm pretty down to earth when it comes to stuff like that. I'm very open. I'm just saying there's nothing in this, you know, in my world that points to it. And I am pretty sure if I really look inside, and I've been through the whole let's take a spirit travel and all that,
mm-hmm.
and I have never lived before on this planet. I'm pretty sure.
This
is my first time.
Have you had any near-death experiences?
No.
Uh-huh.
Not even close.
Have you ever done LSD?
No.
No. All right.
That's my problem.
Well, either one of those things, having a near-death experience or a proper LSD trip, I think you may alter your thinking that you only live once. because I have had the near death and I have seen beyond this life, and I have had the whatever you want to call it spirit journey with the psychedelics, and I've seen other things there, so I'm first I'm positive that there is life beyond this life, but also before this life, and that I'm also sure that there's other dimensions we can tap into. So.
Oh, I'm pretty sure there are the dimensions too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
As in, pretty darn sure.
And define life. Well, life is what is actually you, not this bag of flesh and bones. That you're in flesh.
yeah, and flesh. Define brain.
A brain is just a piece of hardware.
Define.
The brain is just a piece of hardware that you use to process things so that you can understand and make understandable to others.
I never said that we only live once. I just said there's nothing that I know of or have experienced that point any other way.
Okay.
But I am also a very in the, I try to, you see, this is how I see, there is only this 1 hour, we're doing this radio show right now, you and me.
Yeah, this is a 1 hour life.
Once this passed, it's passed. It's not going to come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Next hour, next Monday, is not like a rerun.
Well,
are we doing
it's
it
not
again?
In
no,
the
it's
way.
Different.
It may be in the way that we view time, it's this hour is not going to come back, but this hour has already happened and it'll happen and it's always going to happen.
But I truly believe that, you know, it's just my human experience that everything is sequential, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's just my comprehension. I know the world is not sequential.
Right. I mean, it sure makes things easier to view things on a linear timeline.
Well, that's because I'm a three-dimensional being.
Right.
I'm not a fourth-dimensional being. If I was a fourth-dimensional being, I would be living in the time-space of the fourth dimension. I am not. I'm a third-dimensional being. So I can only live through the fourth dimension in a narrow line. I can only go through the fourth dimension in a line. So that's why I have to make it sequential. But it's not sequential, though.
Right. It's, well,
it's just me.
It's just, yeah, I mean, it's the way that we travel through time in this linear manner that makes it seem sequential.
That's all we can do because we're three-dimensional beings. So when you start talking about the fifth dimension and sixth dimension, is right, which is like the fifth dimension is all outcomes of all timelines that ever could be and ever have been, right?
I don't know. I haven't defined all the dimensions because I have difficulty wrapping my brain.
Okay, well, if you kind of follow the system from one dimension, right, to two dimension, to three dimension, and then the four dimension where you collapse everything into a point again, because
mm-hmm.
that's all the third dimension can do, and then it becomes a line again. And then you start having the cube or everything that ever could be.
Okay.
But we're so limited, so we're never going to see it, though.
Yeah.
So all we got is this sequential right now, and I'm just going to say that wherever we are right now, whatever this bubble we have right now,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to repeat it next Monday.
No, we're not.
No.
Because that's part of the prison that we live in.
the three-dimensional prison. We didn't add that one.
Yeah, exactly.
So are we, what?
Well, Moose Girl pointed out from Buckaroo Banzai there, wherever you go, there you are.
Exactly. And Rob, I saw the link to the David Icke, and thank you very much. Because one of the things that, of course, when you start thinking about prison and mental prisons and system prisons and prison planet, you end up with David Icke, right?
Well, not... I mean, you know, of course he's into it, but you don't necessarily need to wind up with David Icke.
Okay, no, but it's kind of, you know, maybe you don't end up there, but you kind of go past him and you go, oh yeah, David Icke. I hadn't gone to Alex Jones in InfoWars. But...
Okay, well, he's not so esoteric. Well, like David is, but... they both have their good and bad points or values or whatever. But
those two definitely did not escape the prison of their minds.
No, I think Icke is closer to escaping the prison than Alex, but whichever, you know.
So are we each other's prison guards, Grimnir?
Are we? Well, in this 3D physical dimension with authority all around us and all these Karens out there.
That's the world of no imagination, though.
That,
right?
So in that sense, we are each other's prison guards. I mean, because if you're doing something and somebody else sees is wrong, they may report you to the authority. So,
so is it your civic duty to patrol your neighbors and correct and adjust their
behavior? No, that's a way overstepping of your boundaries, I think. That's going way outside of what you should be doing. Just because you see somebody doing something that you don't like, unless they're, you know, harming somebody or somebody's property, let them be.
You don't just take them aside and give them a friendly talk about.
Well, you might say, hey, don't be doing that. I don't like how you're doing that there, or whatever. But I mean, that's not necessarily a prison guard, more of a mother. and your mothers, I guess, were kind of your prison guards growing up, right? Your mothers and your fathers were your prison guards, your teachers, the schools. Those are all your prison guards. and of course, they all bowed down to the greater authority of the state, the greater assumed authority of the state. So, yeah. Mm.
So you don't correct people's behavior?
No. I mean, if I saw somebody beating somebody up, I'd probably go and intervene in that and tell them to knock it the hell off. And, you know, maybe they've got a good reason for beating this person up. I don't know if I just see it and I walk up on it. But either way, there's a better way to handle this than violence.
Because I sort of see you like Bud Spencer.
Who?
You don't... Bud Spencer.
Bud Spencer. No.
I kind of see you like that guy, though.
Who is he?
Bud Spencer and Terrence Hill. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, he's a big dude. And he does these bear slaps.
Bear slaps?
Yeah, flat-handed bear slaps where he just kind of go from behind his back and then just swings and people fly like 15 meters.
All right. Well, I will say this.
It was a compliment.
Okay, thank you. I will say this. Never slap a bear. Slapping a bear is a bad idea. Don't poke the bear. Don't slap the bear. Don't annoy the bear in any way.
Don't annoy the bear. No.
Because the bear will kick your ass.
Are you like known as the bear in your town? Is that like kids go? No, you're known as a nice guy, right?
I'm not really known. I'm unknown.
Oh.
I don't want to be known. I avoid being known.
You're an unknown known.
An unknown known. Yeah, I guess so.
Then how are you going to be somebody's prison guard?
I'm not. I have no desire to be anybody's prison guard. No. I'm not out there to tell you what's right and wrong. You figure that shit out on your own. Oh man!
I don't know. I live in a society where people kind of think it's, you know, we should be each other's prison guard.
Yeah. You know, because I forget who says it. Somebody here in the chat, but it's that old thing. I'm my brother's keeper. And no, I'm not my brother's keeper. My brother's his own freaking keeper. I'm not. I am not there to instruct my brother in right and wrong and left and right, up and down. Yeah.
No, you're more the guy who sits in your chair and laughs when it goes wrong, right?
Well, sometimes. Usually.
Hey, come over here, Frank. You're about to see that guy do something really stupid. Come sit down.
Well, I follow this one Twitter account, and it's called Hold My Beer.
It's sort of the same though, right?
Yeah. You know the saying, hold my beer while I do something really stupid.
Yeah.
So they put up little, you know, short videos of people doing idiotic things. And so I watch those and I laugh, yeah.
So you are, so okay, let's go to number four then.
All right.
Which is, are you comfortable in your chains?
Are you comfortable in your chains?
Because I'm pretty sure we agreed upon that we are living in a lot of prisons, right?
Oh, tons, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. There you go. Those who do not move but do know that. Do not notice. That's not the one I was looking for. there's another chains quote in there about being comfortable in your chains.
But are you?
No, I don't really. No, I'm not. I don't like chains. I don't want to be chained. I don't want to be restricted in other manners.
So you're living in tolerance of it then?
Unless, of course, it's a. Well, never mind.
Yeah.
That's a whole different thing, too. yeah.
I think I a long, you know, a long time ago, like 15 years or 20 years ago, I decided that I, you know, I was going to accept the state of the world and go about my life.
Is that when you...
getting to be as comfortable in it as I can be.
Is that when you unpunked yourself?
Well, as much as you can unpunk yourself once you've really been there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, that's when I put on a mask. And yeah. Just, you know, decided that everything is just going to be easier if you just, you know...
Yeah, I mean, I worked for various companies for many years, and when I was working for them, I guess I had my chains on in order to make a living, you know, so I would obey their rules and do the best I could, and I was probably like the prison guard of my fellow coworkers during those years, because. You know, if I saw people, you know, if they weren't doing whatever their job, which would prevent me from doing my job, you know, I might go over and say something to them and say, hey, you know, I need this stuff here, and you're over here, you're goofing off, you're not doing your work, you know, you come in late, you leave early, what the hell's wrong with you? Because I was like, you know, I was there to provide a valuable service for whatever company. I was doing it, and if somebody there was preventing me from doing that by being a goof, then yeah. So I guess I had my chains there, but I broke free of those.
Well, I mean, also, you know, I fully accept that I live in a very violent society that's going to kill me or make it very horrible on me if I don't follow the rules.
Yeah, they will certainly try to.
And I tried, I you know, I lived some part of my very young life in constant resistance to that.
Yeah.
And I figured out I kind of like having a warm house and a bath and
sure.
a, you know, washing machine. And
all the comforts, right.
And I like that better than being in constant struggle with everything around me. So I just, and I couldn't live in tolerance. I tried that for a time, and it made me miserable to be, you know, to tolerate all that violence.
Yeah.
So I had to accept it. I had to just say, okay, you fully accept it.
But
and then you make yourself an accomplice in it.
But answer me this. Do you do things that if the state knew that you were doing them, they would come down on you in a way that you wouldn't like?
Of course.
Okay.
Everybody does.
All right, all right. I'm just asking because, you know, if you're...
Everybody does.
You know, you have your chains, but sometimes you put them away for a little while and do things. That...
Yes, I am still a living human, creative and imaginative being who likes to experiment in life. So I'm still that...
All right.
Which means asking a whole lot of questions.
It does. Yeah. I mean, you have to understand. Now,
I was taught from home that rules are made. If this is really much, you know, my mom's way of looking at shit. If you don't understand the rule and you think it's stupid, then it's probably not made for you.
Probably not, but I mean, there's a lot of really stupid rules that go on that they are, well, not necessarily made for you. They're made for everyone. Well, everyone except for the people that make them, of course.
yeah, every day I climb through a hole in a fence to go over some train tracks in a spot where I know they don't want it's not legal to cross the train tracks.
Right.
Now, when they put up the new fence, I for a couple of days, I don't know why, I stopped going over the train tracks because, oh, now I got to climb the fence and everything. And when my mom heard that, she got angry with me. Because she was like, do you know how to walk across train tracks without getting hit by a train? Yes. Then do you think that fence is made for you? No. That fence is made for people who don't know how to cross train tracks without getting hit by a train. Is that you? No.
I would hope not.
Well, there you go. Let's go make a hole in the fence. Yeah, okay, Mom.
Now, do you remember a person called A-Girl?
No.
Okay, well, she's from the old broadcasting system that we used to have. Anyway, she's great. She used to do some various shows. But one of the things she would talk about is the rule of paint. And you understand that as things like stop signs or, whatever, like lines that you have to drive within. Things that are painted either, you know, on a sign or on the ground or whatever. And you have to, people automatically follow the rule of paint.
Yeah,
which is it's like the invisible hand of authority out there instructing you, and people freak out if you're not following the rule of the paint.
The paint.
I guess now it extends to in your grocery store they put these like lines on the floor that are 6 feet apart so that you don't get in.
Do you have to stand directly in between the two lines, or just
I don't know. I don't pay attention to them, so I don't care. But I think that's the concept. Is that you should? you should stand exactly. You know that, what was the Fifth Element? Remember Fifth Element, the movie?
Yeah,
Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
and whatever the guard or whoever he is comes out of the door, he's got to stand in the circle on the floor and put his hands on the wall, and he's I'm classified as a meat popsicle or whatever.
Oh yes, that's because they're not like the prisons with no walls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's because the life outside the prison is even worse than the life within it.
I don't know about that.
I'm telling you. I had an old friend, right?
Yeah.
He got caught in Venezuela with heroin trying to cross the border, right?
Right.
He got sentenced 7 years in a Venezuelan jungle prison as a Danish kid, right?
Okay.
At some point, all the gang members in this prison had gotten a lot of guns, and they're pretty much taking over the prison. Which doesn't make it very nice to be a little Danish kid there, right?
Probably.
So what
not.
They did was, what they did was they took all the stronger prisoners, and they didn't search them. They let them keep all their guns, and then they put them on a bus, and they drove far into the jungle, where there were no walls, right? Uh-huh. Outside the prison, far into the jungle, right?
Right.
And they dumped them there.
Okay.
No, there were no walls and no nothing.
Yeah, all right.
But because the jungle outside was so scary that they stayed in that clearing. And then they went back, a couple of weeks later and picked up whoever had survived.
Okay.
That's pretty much how they dealt with it, right? But because everything outside them was even more hostile. Nobody was running and trying to survive into those jungles.
Okay. Okay, well, I could see that in that situation, but let's say there's a prison there in the state where you live, versus being just out in amongst the people in the city, then the prison's obviously worse, right?
Then you need walls, though, right? You need walls when whatever is outside the prison is nicer than whatever is in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So the reason why you don't need walls for this, I'm going to say fiscal. I really don't. It's such a weird word, though. But if we talk about the fiscal prison, there are no walls in that. But well, that's because the world outside it, where you don't have a house, you mm-hmm. don't have any property, you don't have plumbing, you don't have water, you don't have anything. You're pretty much just living on the land from day to day without anything.
Right.
That is more horrible than whatever this violent system is giving us.
Okay.
Because if it wasn't, then we would all leave it, right?
So, all right. So, being that, okay, in at least some situations, the world inside of the walled prison is better than the world outside of the walled prison. How do you feel about the actual walled prisons?
Well, then you feel them as a protection, don't you?
No, not just in that situation.
No, the walls. But
in every situation, all the various prisons around the world that have people locked up for doing something the state didn't approve of. How do you feel about those prisons?
Well, I'm going to go a different way with it, though.
Okay.
I'm going to say I don't think anybody has the right to put somebody else in a cage.
Good.
I don't think that's a right anybody has.
I agree.
And the reason why you can do that is only if you rely on violence to do it.
Right. Well,
that's my answer.
And that's the state. And I think that you posted a link about that, the monopoly on violence, which is what defines a state.
So obviously within that principle that I don't believe anybody has the right to put another human being behind bars, that means that I don't believe in prisons, do I?
Yes, exactly. So a fortress could be a good thing where instead of a prison, because the fortress will keep the bad stuff outside of the fortress.
Yeah. You know, like Trump's wall, right? We sat here for years and listened to Goobacilla talk about Trump's wall.
Total joke.
What was that, 100 millions who are going to overrun the U.S.?
Yes, whatever. I don't even know what happened to all that crap. You know, they were talking about all these people coming up from Central America and invading the U.S. And
they're running the other way now. Fuck that COVID shit.
Yeah, it never happened. It never happened. No. And that wall is stupid. I mean, we built 40 yards of wall. Okay, well, I'm going to walk 41 yards and go right around it. How about that?
You know, that whole, you know, remember when the big immigrant, here comes the foreigners to Europe?
Yeah.
You know, we had that wave and, the world is going to end. You know, 1 year later, Denmark had to shut down all their tent camps and refugee camps.
Yeah.
Because they were empty.
Who the hell wants to live in those?
Nobody came.
Yeah.
All those big groups of single violent terrorist Arab men that were going to come and rape and kill us all.
Yeah.
They never came.
No.
The ones that came were the families with children, because we would never put those in tent camps. Those get houses, right?
I guess.
If you come with children, you get a house.
I got no problem putting families in a tent. hey, look, you came here. You want to stay someplace. Here's a tent. If you don't want it, live outside.
Well, we're decent people, Grimnir. We're not savage.
Well, I know, but you don't have to, you know, bend over backwards to help somebody that just came and invaded your home.
No. No. But none of this, all this happened. None of those big hordes of people came. And just like that, with the whole fear back then, we were, and everybody were building walls and fences, right? We'll build a prison.
Yeah. Well, you know, those walls work both ways.
Sure. Sure. I don't think I have escaped the prison of my mind, though.
Okay.
We're trying.
All right. Well, I would suggest
LSD and LSD. A near-death experience.
Well, I don't suggest a near-death experience. Because, I mean, if you have a near-death experience, you have one. But I don't suggest going out and try. Don't do a flatliners thing.
No.
I mean, that's a bad idea.
But see, I am perfectly content living a calm life of reflection. I don't really need the big woo-has. I'm good.
Okay.
With everything just kind of small.
And, you know,
and,
through meditation, you could probably get close.
Oh, yeah. I did a lot. You know, yeah. There's a lot of, let's just say, a lot of the layers of prison in my mind that I took on with meditation.
Yeah. Yeah. You can break a lot of that down.
Yeah.
You get that connected feeling. That connected feeling with every other atom in the universe.
Yes.
And understand that a lot of the limitations that we have as humans, as physical beings here, we put upon ourselves.
Mm.
Which is that prison of the mind thing.
Yeah. But in you know, and I know maybe, I don't, okay, I'm just going to put the word love on it, right?
Okay, good, it's a good word.
Yeah, because truly, in essence, it's all about creation. And I don't see, I kind of see love as the force behind the creation.
Okay.
So to me, love is more, it's like a natural force.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that works. That works even here in this physical world. You know, when you create something, you do it because you enjoy doing it, and you look at it after that, and it is a work of love, right?
Yes.
Whether it's
and
like,
I will tell you the key for me to be comfortable in my chains is through love, though.
Okay, but why do you need the chains?
Well, they're there. I don't need them, but they're there. I'm very I'm very accepting about that they're there. I lived my life as your quote said, unless you tug on your chains, you're not going to know they're there, right?
Right.
I did that a lot.
I
really talked at those chains, man, right?
I would have loved to have known you when you were a teen. I'm telling you, this is wild girl, man. It would have been awesome.
Well, pretty much up until my, you know, late 20s, I was tucking at those chains and being an artist, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of know that, you know, that they're there. And I chose to back off just a bit and make them loose and nice. And one of the things that helped me do that was love.
Yeah.
You know, to understand that there is more than just the physical world where all these chains exist, right?
Sure, sure.
And in love, there are no chains, though.
Right. Even if the other ones still exist upon you.
Yeah. Well, even that true love of that, you started to go through the love. Because I had the years where I was just angry at all the rest of the people in society, right, for doing this to me.
Right.
I was very angry at you know, everybody.
Sure.
because why are you doing this to me? Come on. Why are you doing this to you? Why are, you know, why are we doing? Stop it. But they didn't. So I, at some point, I, you know, you had to forgive everybody else too.
Yeah.
Especially the ones who want to put everybody in prison. Those, I had a hard time forgiving those people.
Yeah, I do too. You go back to that. Oh, all right. What was your words? Because you didn't want to say all cops are bastards. You called them people.
No, I say all cops are people.
Yeah. Well, bastards
and they should
are people.
Be held accountable as such.
Aren't bastards people?
Oh. Well, I'm just saying, but you put them in a group, man. Then it's no longer Peter, Paul, and Mary, and you know, Doris, or whatever their names are.
For those of you listening and not privy to the information here, sarcastic, what about instead of all cops are bastards, all cops are or she put in, instead of ACAB, how about ACAP? And so I said, all cops are predators?
You got to see, I pulled those chains too, Grubner, right? Because when I was a punk, everybody was wearing ACAP, right? And I made my own badge. And I went, no, all cops are people. And I think once we take each and every, you know, the individual, once you're no longer just a cop, but you're actually Peter or Paul or Doris or whatever your name is, and you are now accountable for the actions you did as a human being, as a person in that uniform, not as the uniform, but you as a human being.
Right.
If we start held everybody accountable as human beings,
well,
as individuals.
That would be good. But, of course, I don't see that happening.
No, I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, where do you see that happening at?
I try to live my life like
okay,
that.
Okay. But because
I met full cops too. I met cops who said I can't be a cop no more because all the dudes are with
people. Okay, yeah, and that's my thing. The only good cops are the ones that quit immediately, seeing the nonsense that they have to admit to or lie about in their profession, or the ones that are just no longer around. those are the only. But if they're an active cop and they're going along with the system, and regardless of what good things they may do as part of their job, allowing the rest to not to be part of the corrupt, terrible system, then they're not a good cop. So the only good cops are those that have been quit or have been fired or they're just no longer on this earth.
I'm just saying that it doesn't matter as much if you're a good cop as if you're a good human being. It should.
True. Know. True. I just don't see cops as human beings.
Maybe we should vote for the cops, though.
That's a whole.
You know, every week you put up everybody wants to be a cop for the next week and you vote on them.
Yeah,
those are the people who get to be cops for the next week.
Okay, and we'll stop it there because we're out of time. Yeah. But thanks to everybody for tuning in.
It was an enslaving hour, Grimnir.
An enslaving hour. An imprisoned hour. But we'll be back again next Monday, hopefully, with another episode of It's All Connected. Tomorrow, hopefully, we're going to have Flash somebody at 3 p.m. Eastern in a perfect world. Hopefully. We'll see. You know, it's up to him, however that goes. And check the schedule on RealLibertyMedia.com for all the rest of the shows coming up on RLM Radio throughout the week. And stay tuned to RealLibertyMedia.com. You can't really stay tuned. Well, you can stay tuned there, but check out RealLibertyMedia.com on a regular basis. Because there's always new posts going up and such, and other cool stuff going on there. So,
We even have our own critics, though.
Oh, well, couldn't live without them, right?
Exactly. They're going to vote for it, though. Oh.
Yeah. So, anyway, thanks to all the chatters and other folks out there listening on RLM Radio. And I guess that's all. Have a great rest of your Monday. And if you're me, stay away from people. If you're Cirque, go up and hug them.
Don't hug cats, though.
Don't hug cats. That's a bad idea. All right. So anyway, thank you all so much, and we'll talk to you later. Right? Peace.
Yeah. Peace.